I want you to picture a senior engineer on your team right now.
Okay, yeah.
They have just spent, I don't know, 3 entire hours unwinding a brilliant, confident, and just completely useless artificial intelligence detour.
Oh man. I mean, it is the defining engineering headache of our current era.
Right.
And it is happening in almost every single enterprise right now, like today.
Exactly. Because the code, you know, it looked absolutely flawless in the pull request.
Yeah.
It passed every single test in the automated suite.
Yeah, truly.
It even came with a really tidy markdown summary, a perfectly reasonable commit history.
Yeah.
And it just exuded this this calm, polite confidence of a system that had absolutely no idea it was entirely wrong.
Which is the most dangerous kind of confidence,
yeah.
Really.
Because it wasn't until it hit a staging environment, or honestly worse, production, that the whole architecture just completely buckled.
Yeah.
And the kicker here, the reality we are unpacking today for you, is that this 3-hour rollback, it will not show up on your OpenAI, Anthropic, Google, or AWS invoice.
No, it absolutely won't. And yet, the time spent debugging that hallucination, the delayed feature release, the sheer cognitive burnout of that senior engineer, all of that might actually be the single most expensive reality of your enterprise AI strategy right now.
Okay, let's unpack this, because welcome to the deep dive.
Yeah.
Our source today is this fascinating piece from June 6th, 2026, and it's titled The AI Operating Ledger.
It's a great piece.
It really is. And the core mission of our deep dive today, what we really want to figure out, is the true cost of AI in the workplace. The source argues that enterprise AI is slamming headfirst out of the capability phase.
Right, where we were all just stunned that a machine could write a Python script at all.
Exactly. We're out of that phase, and we are now deep into the accounting phase.
And, you know, we have to be really clear about what kind of accounting we actually mean here.
Oh, for sure.
Because this isn't just about the finance department, you know, scrutinizing software licenses. We are talking about true operating accounting. Because right now, leadership at a lot of companies is essentially getting away with fake math.
Fake math. I love that term. How so?
Well, the illusion is incredibly seductive, right? You put your AI subscription costs in one column, say, you know, a few hundred or a few thousand dollars a month.
Yep.
And in the other column, you put the human salaries you are hoping to avoid or the raw hours of manual coding you think you just automated away.
Right.
You look at the massive delta between those two numbers, you smile at the margin, and you declare that your operating model has completely transformed.
The illusion of the clean spreadsheet. I mean, it looks perfect in a board deck, right?
It looks fantastic, until it doesn't.
Yeah, that illusion shatters the exact moment you experience that multi-hour unwind we just talked about. So if the math is fake, how exactly are we being tricked here? How is this cost being hidden from us?
Well, the magic trick really relies on a fundamentally flawed, like, surface-level comparison. If you simply say, a human writes this boilerplate code in 4 hours, an AI system generates it in 4 seconds, therefore the AI is cheaper.
Right. That sounds logical on paper.
It sounds logical, but you aren't doing operational analysis there. You're just ignoring the backstage mechanics completely. AI doesn't just, you know, write code.
What does it do then?
When you deploy an agent to solve a problem, it has to consume massive amounts of context. It makes thousands of micro-assumptions, it calls external tools, and then, this is the key part, it hands a human a diff, a set of file changes.
Oh,
and that human still has to mentally decode and verify every single one of those changes.
Wait, hold on, though. Aren't leaders just tracking token usage? I mean, every single enterprise dashboard I see right now measures token spend. Isn't token spend basically the AI version of cloud spend?
That is the assumption, but no. And the source actually makes a critical correction here. Token spend isn't cloud spend. It's much closer to fuel consumption.
Fuel consumption? Like gas in a car?
Exactly. Yes, tracking the gas you put in the car is useful. I mean, it's measurable, it costs real money, and you certainly cannot ignore the meter running. But tracking gas doesn't tell you if the road trip was actually worth taking.
Oh, wow. I mean, you could drive 500 miles at maximum fuel efficiency in the exact opposite direction of your destination.
Precisely. One engineering team can burn 1 million tokens and ship a critical, highly valuable application refactor that reduces latency by like 20%.
Okay, that's a great trip.
Right. But another team down the hall can burn the exact same 1 million tokens, turning a vague JIRA ticket into a beautifully formatted architectural catastrophe.
Oh, no.
And that catastrophe takes 3 days for a human to undo. So it's the exact same fuel consumed, but a completely different enterprise value.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah.
So if token usage just tells us how much gas we burned, we need a completely new way to track the actual journey of the work itself.
We do. We have to look at the full ledger.
Right. And that brings us to the core framework of our source today, the AI operating ledger. So this is a way to track an AI request from the initial prompt all the way to a trusted verified result.
Mm.
And it looks like there are 8 hidden line items here. Let's walk through them. Because it starts long before the code is even generated. The top line is obviously inference, right? The model calls the context size.
Yeah, the actual compute.
Yeah.
But right beneath that is something called context preparation.
Okay, break that down for me.
So context preparation is where the hidden costs really begin to rack up. An AI model, no matter how advanced it is, it doesn't magically know your company's proprietary architecture.
Right, doesn't know your weird naming conventions.
Exactly, it doesn't know your legacy database schemas. So someone, and this is usually a very expensive human engineer, has to gather the requirements, pull the repository state, query the logs, define the design constraints, and write out all the acceptance criteria.
That sounds like a lot of work.
It is. And if you skip this step, or if that context isn't prepared properly up front, the cost doesn't just vanish. It simply moves downstream into rework.
Wow. Which brings us to the most painful downstream costs, and honestly, the reality of the daily engineering workflow right now. The human tax.
Ah, yes, the review phase.
Right, because reviewing AI-generated work is just completely mechanically and psychologically different than reviewing human work. It's exhausting.
It is an entirely different cognitive process. Think about how code review has historically worked for us.
Okay.
When a junior human engineer submits a pull request, the senior reviewer generally knows the kinds of mistakes they're going to make, right?
Yeah. Humans make logical errors, they forget a null check, or maybe they use a slightly inefficient loop.
Exactly. Or they just misunderstand the business logic. Furthermore, humans leave a trail of breadcrumbs. You can look at their commit messages and kind of, you know, understand their thought process.
But an AI doesn't have a thought process.
No, it just drops a massive finalized state right onto your desk.
And the mistakes it makes are completely alien. Like a human forgets a syntax rule, but an AI will write syntactically perfect, beautiful code that calls an authentication library that literally does not exist.
Right. An AI makes subtle, bizarre, highly confident mistakes. You cannot just skim it. The senior engineer who is hunting through an agent-generated diff is dealing with a unique kind of high focus, high fatigue attention.
A cognitive tax.
A massive cognitive tax. They have to mentally compile and verify a sprawling architecture they didn't write, generated by an entity with zero real-world intuition. It is exhausting.
And what happens when that exhausted reviewer actually catches one of those confident hallucinations? You don't just magically get the right code?
No, you do not.
You fall into the hidden rework loop. The agent solved the wrong problem. The reviewer rejects it, so the human has to go back, rewrite the prompt, and try to explain to the machine why the fake authentication library doesn't work.
And then the agent tries again?
Yeah. You're burning time, burning tokens, and burning human patience.
And the scary part. The rework loop is actually the best case scenario for a failure.
Wait, really? The best case?
Yes. Because heaven forbid that confident hallucination gets past the exhausted reviewer. Then we hit the next phase of the ledger. Escape defects, evaluation, and governance.
Ah. Because a defect generated at the speed of light by an AI is still a defect in production.
Exactly. And it's almost worse because now the blast radius is so much wider. If that AI-generated flaw reaches the customer, your real operational cost now includes incident response.
Oh, man. PagerDuty goes off at 3 a.m.
Yep. An engineer who didn't write the prompt and who didn't even review the AI's output is now frantically trying to debug an emergent hallucination while support tickets are just piling up.
That is a nightmare. Which explains why the source mentions continuous evaluation and drift signals as non-negotiable.
You have to maintain massive test coverage just to know if your AI workflow is actually improving your code base or secretly degrading its structural integrity over time.
Right. And hovering over all of this fallout is the governance line item, which I love how the source frames this. Governance isn't just an administrative checkbox. It's the person entering the room wearing sensible shoes and carrying a clipboard.
That's a perfect image for it.
We're talking strict enterprise realities. Security, SOC2 compliance, vendor risk assessments.
Right. None of those constraints become optional just because the interface got conversational.
Exactly.
You cannot stand in front of an auditor and say, well, the underlying model is a black box, but the chatbot promised it didn't leak PII into the public training data.
Yeah. that's not going to fly.
Not at all. In a regulated enterprise, ensuring that AI agents respect security boundaries requires massive engineering overhead. It is the mandatory cost of admission.
Okay, so if we step back from the immediate deployment cycle, there is one final overarching cost on this ledger. And it's structural. It's about the long-term health of the team. Institutional memory.
What's fascinating here is that this might actually be the most profound hidden cost we face. The strangest line item on the ledger.
Why is that?
Think about the fundamental nature of human work. When people do work manually, when they struggle through a complex architectural problem, when they hit dead ends and have to reverse course, they learn.
Right. They build an internal map of how the system behaves and how it fails.
Exactly. But when AI agents do the work invisibly in the background, the organization gets the output, sure, but it completely bypasses the learning process.
It's output without intuition. I want you, as a listener, to really consider your own career right now, or the people you actually manage. Think about the junior developers on your team.
Mm-hmm.
Are you outsourcing the exact middle-tier execution that junior workers traditionally use to build their engineering judgment? Because if an agent is writing all their boilerplate and an agent is doing all their basic debugging, they aren't learning how the system fails.
No, they aren't.
And in 5 years, when they're supposedly senior engineers, they aren't going to have the intuition required to review the AI's work. You might literally be trading tomorrow's judgment for today's delivery velocity.
Which is a terrifying thought. And we have to rigorously distinguish between work that actually teaches judgment and work that is just, as the source puts it, toil wearing a cardigan.
Toil wearing a cardigan. Brilliant.
We don't want humans doing mindless tasks, but we need them to learn.
Okay, so here's where it gets really interesting. We have this ledger now. We understand the setup costs, the crushing cognitive tax, escape defects, the loss of institutional memory. But why do these ledger costs suddenly balloon out of control for some projects, while other AI workflows seem cheap and efficient?
It all comes down to the underlying mechanics of how we assign work. It is entirely about the inputs we provide the AI.
Because our source reveals that the exact same AI tool running the exact same model can be wildly cheap or catastrophically expensive based solely on the prompt.
That's the hidden variable.
Right. If you have a narrow, mathematically bounded task with explicitly clear constraints like generating a first draft of a test fixture for a specific API endpoint, the economics are phenomenal.
Yeah, the search space is small, the machine moves fast, and crucially, the human reviewer can verify it instantly.
But give that exact same agent a vague, open-ended request, and the ledger goes completely off the rails. Imagine a manager dropping a prompt like, modernize the service.
Oh, or clean up the onboarding flow.
Yes. Or my personal favorite, make this module production ready.
Which, to be fair, those sound like perfectly normal requests to us. Those are phrases engineering managers say in stand-up meetings every single day.
Totally.
They feel normal to us because human beings have been silently filling in the gaps of those vague requests for decades. And this introduces the most critical concept from our source, smuggled intelligence.
Smuggled intelligence? Mm-hmm. It's like a customer at a restaurant telling a waiter, I'll have the usual.
Great analogy.
A human waiter knows that means the steak, medium rare, and absolutely no onions because the customer is allergic. Oh. But the AI robot just sees the literal text. The usual, has no historical context, guesses randomly, and, you know, poisons the customer with an onion soup.
That is the exact mechanism of smuggled intelligence. When an engineering director says, modernize this service, they are relying on massive amounts of unwritten, smuggled context.
Right.
The human staff engineer knows that modernize specifically means updating to the new internal container orchestrator, but avoiding the legacy database because it's being deprecated next quarter.
And the designer knows that clean up the flow means fixing a massive, undocumented accessibility debt.
Exactly. The platform lead knows that production ready actually means setting up specific telemetry tags, cost controls, and an on-call pager path that complies with European data laws.
But the AI knows absolutely none of this.
Yeah.
It has no access to the unwritten rules of your company's culture. Unless the organization actually takes the time to explicitly write every single constraint down, the AI is just going to guess.
Yeah.
It might blindly bump the React version, break the build, and cheerfully call the service modernized, which leads to this incredible overarching insight. AI doesn't fix bad engineering management. It taxes it in real time.
It is a phenomenal observation. I mean, let's look at the mechanics of how bad management used to work. In the past, a fuzzy, vague specification from a manager used to just cost a little bit of friction.
A little bit of annoying back and forth.
Right. The human engineer would read the vague ticket, realize it made no sense, walk over to the manager's desk, and spend 10 minutes hashing out what modernize actually meant. The human smoothed over the bad management.
But now...
Now, that same fuzzy spec is fed to an agent. And the agent doesn't ask clarifying questions, it just starts generating.
Oh, man.
So that bad management now costs initial token spend, massive review fatigue for the senior engineer reading the garbage output, multiple rework loops, and ultimately a complete loss of trust in the system.
The token meter didn't create the cost of the fuzzy spec. It just finally made the cost visible.
Exactly.
So we understand the ledger. We see the absolute danger of smuggled intelligence. Now let's pivot to the practical reality. What do you, our listener, actually do about this when you log on for work on Monday morning?
Well, the very first thing you do is completely reframe the core metric your organization is chasing. The goal, as we established with the fuel analogy, is not to minimize token usage. That is like optimizing a delivery route by refusing to buy gas.
Right.
If a specific agent run costs a massive amount of tokens, but it collapses a week of tedious manual exploration into a single afternoon, you gladly pay that compute cost. It's highly efficient fuel burn.
Okay, so if we aren't tracking tokens saved, what is the actual metric we should be looking at?
You need to track value per verified outcome.
Value per verified outcome.
Yes. And that word verified is the entire game here. We are not tracking lines of code generated. We are not tracking tickets summarized. And we are certainly not measuring success based on the vibes of a glossy demo.
No vibes-based accounting. So what does verified actually mean?
Verified means the output matched the original human intent. It passed durable automated checks. It survived human review without causing fatigue. And it was successfully merged.
Got it. So how do we get there? The source outlines three really specific steps for engineering leaders. Step one, conduct a ledger audit on one workflow.
Notice the constraint there. Do not try to audit the entire enterprise workflow at once.
Right.
Do not commission a massive consulting report. Just pick one recently merged AI-assisted feature. Go back through the Git history, look at the Jira tickets, and track it backward. Document every bounce back, requirement spin, and context prep hour.
Step two, separate your generation metrics from your outcome metrics. You obviously still track tokens, but don't let leadership confuse machine activity with business value.
Exactly. Measure your review time and your defect escape rate alongside your token spend.
And step three, move your investment upstream, meaning better specs and tighter review loops will almost always beat rolling out some shiny new AI tool.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the free lunch phase of enterprise AI is officially over.
Yeah.
The companies that win this era will stop doing the fake math, and they will intentionally redesign their workflows around human judgment rather than just nostalgia for manual work.
So what does this all mean for you? We've moved from the illusion of the clean spreadsheet to the messy reality of the AI operating ledger. We learned how smuggled intelligence and vague management are being taxed in real time. So the next time you use AI, I want you to open your own mental ledger and honestly ask yourself, what value actually survived review?
And here is a final thought for you to mull over. We've spent this time talking about how AI severely punishes vague instructions.
Mm-hmm.
It forces us to explicitly define our unwritten rules and our smuggled intelligence. So will the ultimate ironic legacy of artificial intelligence simply be that it finally forced human beings to become good at clear communication and documentation?
Wow. The machines might not replace us. They might just force us to write a decent engineering spec. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.